Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, good afternoon. Royals lose 9-4. They drop the finale. They drop the series. Royals haven't won a series since, 5 weeks ago today? Look, not surprising that they lost, not surprising how they lost. If you want to talk about the game, feel free, call me up. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you feel like screaming about Matt Beatty and Samad Taylor colliding with one another and that turning into a four-run eighth inning, you go right ahead. You want to talk about Bobby Witt Jr. pretending as if this is a showcase tournament and he's trying to get recruited and that turning into a three-run second inning, you go right ahead. Again, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you're doing the math, yeah, 7 runs that I lay at the feet of this Royals defense. Royals lose 9-4. Yeah. Yeah, another one of those type of afternoons. Another one of those type of afternoons that have you right now on pace to go 44-118. One game shy of the 2003 Detroit Tigers' worst record in American League Baseball history. That, to me, is not interesting. This team's defense has been bad all season. It was expected to be bad, and boy, is it ever living up to the billing. Now, Bobby, we could talk about that. That's disappointing. That is immaturity. That is, I would like to say, a lack of experience, but that's just, again, a young man doing way too much. Now, what I want to talk about and what I think the conversation this afternoon should center around is Brady Singer. Right, Brady goes 7 strong, well, I can't say there were 7 strong when his final line reads 5 earned runs. Now, does Bobby share in that? No doubt. Bobby, to me, wears 3 of those runs, but stats are what stats are, and right now the statistics say Brady Singer is one of the 3 worst pitchers in Major League Baseball. Really, this game today from Brady, all it does is validate whatever you thought about Brady 4 or 5 hours ago. If you were a non-believer, well, you can still point to his ERA of 6.34. 3rd worst in Major League Baseball among qualified starters. Only arms worse, Lance Lynn of the White Sox and your boy Jordan Lyles. You could point to the fact that he was once again a 2-pitch pitcher, slider, sinker. You could point out something that they were going strong on the television side. And I understand why. You know, Mike Sweeney, Ryan Lefevre, Rex Hudler, talking about Brady Singer's proclivity this season to wear out the arm side of the plate. But if you're looking from behind the pitching mound, left side of the plate, you dive into the numbers, and I'll let you inside real quick. Dave Holtzman is kind enough to share his numbers with me, the great Dave Holtzman of Bally Sports Kansas City. He has highlighted the fact that Brady has consistently run the ball in against lefties and away against righties. Consistently down and away from righties, down and in on lefties. And if it wasn't ever so very predictable today, I mean, if Dave Holtzman, if Mike Sweeney and Rex Hudler, for God's sakes, if I know the trend, You know everyone in that Detroit Tiger lineup is looking for a slider down in the zone, likely down and away if you're right-handed, down and in if you're a lefty. And for those lefties out there, you know that's the nitro zone. So he was very predictable, two pitches, same location, time in and time out. And he got touched up, sure. Bobby let him down in the second inning, but it is a possibility that Brady Singer picks up his defense. Now, we got high expectations for Bobby, no doubt, but high expectations for Brady as well. So if you were a non-believer, if you think that Brady Singer has come back down to earth in 2023 and this is more of what he is and what he's going to be moving forward more so than what we saw last season, well, your beliefs were validated this afternoon. But if you are a believer in the former first-round pick, a guy that was more than likely going to be your opening day starter this season, if not for the World Baseball Classic, if you thought the guy that stared down the White Sox and the Rays and the Dodgers and the Yankees last season came up big in big spots when this team needed him, if you think that's the real Singer and he's going to return, well, yeah, I think that belief was validated as well. Because as the defense crumbles around him, he is able to lock in. Sure, couldn't pick up Bobby in the second inning. I understand that. But after that second inning, he gives up two runs on three hits over five innings. You give him that Bobby Witt Jr. play. Let's say Bobby makes that play, an out is recorded. Two pitches later, the third out is recorded in that second inning. Singer's final line is something along the lines of seven or more innings. Seven innings, five hits, two runs. And we're all celebrating the fact that our ace is back. So I'm curious, how'd you hear the game? How'd you see this one? Are you a believer or not? Brady Singer's 15 starts into the season. He goes seven innings for the first time today. He went at least seven, nine times last year. Today's the first time he's done it thus far in 2023. Are you a believer or not in Brady? Because if the answer is no, then I don't even know if we're at square one of the rebuild. I don't even know if the rebuild has started if you don't believe in Brady Singer. Because who's leading this rotation next year? Who's leading this rotation in 2025? If it's not Brady Singer, are you already there with Daniel Lynch? And if it's neither of them, this organization's at least 3-4 years away from competing, if that's your belief. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Royals drop the finale in Detroit, 9-4 the final score. We'll hear from Matt Quatrero and head inside that Royals clubhouse and get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. You know the only thing better than pizza? Free pizza. Every day at 2 o'clock, The Drive is giving you the chance to win a free pizza from our friends at Pizza Tasio. All you have to do is tune in, listen, and win. Then you can enjoy one of their delicious pizzas from one of their seven locations around Kansas City. The Drive and Pizza Tasio are teaming up to give you free pizza.
It's awesome!
Every day, just by listening right at 2 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Here's the pitch. Blanco rolls it down the third baseline. Maton dives. It's past him again and into the left field corner. Fermin jogs around third. He's in to score. Tyrone Blanco replaces him at second.
Yeah, that was the ninth inning attempt. I don't know. Two out RBI double from Dairon Blanco in the ninth inning. I'd never really thought the comeback was possible. I see someone on the text line saying every time the drive and C-Dot's about to come on, the Royals have some long at-bats. Yeah, sorry about that. C-Dot, Rob, they'll be coming your way in just about 30 minutes from now. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. You've heard the story before, but the Royals led this game. They were up 2-0. After Freddie Fermin's one-out, two-run double in the second inning, Fermin has now driven in a run in four of his last six starts. He gives the Royals a short-lived 2-0 lead because Bobby makes that back-breaking decision, not error, decision in the second inning. Three runs come across to score. Singer needs an extra 13 pitches. Who knows how this game turns out if Bobby takes a deep breath, sets his feet, and gets the out. Instead, he wants to be a ballerina and make a top 10 play on SportsCenter. You know what? That comes across like he's selfish. I don't mean that he's selfish and that he wants the attention. No, he like Mahomes, believes he can do everything out there on the field. He can't, you know? He's human. I don't know what's going on with Mahomes. If you missed it, runner on first with one out. Andy Ibañez hits a ground ball back up the middle. Bobby from the shortstop position ranges to his left, gloves it, and with his momentum carrying him out to shallow center field, he tries to flip the ball to Matt Duffy at second base. Backhand, kind of an option quarterback toss to Matt Duffy at second base, where he had time. If he would have just collected himself, you know, slowed down, set his feet, he had time to make a stronger throw to Matt Duffy at second base or set his feet and get Ibañez at first. Instead, he tries to do it all in one fluid motion, tries to start what could have been a 6-4-3 jaw-dropping double play. Instead, it's a infield hit. Everybody safe, first and second, one out. Two batters later, Eric Haas rips a slider low and away to left center field, scoring two to tie it up. Zach Short then hits a slider down in the zone to left field, scoring another run. That makes it 3-2 Detroit. They would add on another in the third, another in the fifth. Royals score one in the top of the eighth inning thanks to a Matt Beatty RBI fielder's choice. Man, I realize some of these names I'm saying. If you're just tuning in expecting to hear Carrington and you don't really follow the Royals that closely, you're thinking, hang on, Dairon Blanco, Matt Beatty, who is this a national broadcast? Who are these guys? Well, Matt Beatty's stay on the field was short-lived because in the bottom of the eighth inning with the Royals, after his RBI, the Royals were shockingly in this game. It's only 5-3 going to the bottom of the eighth inning. Spencer Torkelson on to face Jackson Kowar. The 1-0 offering is lifted to shallow right field. Matt Beatty in right field charges in. Second baseman Samad Taylor goes out, and he is way out in right field, but he apparently isn't being called off by Matt Beatty. So the two converge on the fly ball, smash into one another. Beatty's nose looked like it made contact with Samad's shoulder, while Samad's chin looked like it made contact with Beatty's chest. It was an ugly collision. Beatty comes out of the game. It goes down as an error. Four runs come in to score, and this game turns into a laugher. 9-4 the final score. Royals drop their 54th game of the season. That's one-third of the season. They've already lost one-third of the games. Wow. 20-54. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. And oh, by the way, Royals are now catching a plane to Tampa to take on the best team in baseball. Rays have 32 wins at home. Royals have 20 wins, period. Rays throw the best arm they have to the hill tomorrow in Shane McClanahan. Royals going with an opener in Jose Kwas. Let's get an update on Matt Beatty and Samad Taylor. Here's Matt Quatrero after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
Well, it was very scary. I mean, he went down hard. Samad went down hard. You never want to see that happen. But fortunately, it's not a serious injury. Non-concussive whiplash type injury. But all things considered, he's in a good spot.
Just a lack of communication there. What happened?
Yeah, I couldn't hear if one called it or the other. From my viewpoint, it looked like Beatty was camped under it. But again, that's a weird angle for us from where I stand, but that's what it looked like initially. I have not gone back to look at it yet.
What did you see from Brady today? How would you assess his start?
Yeah, I think Brady threw the ball well. I thought early on, the first inning we give up runs, the walk started it. And it looked like he was throwing the ball well. He just couldn't get them to miss the slider. Like maybe they were looking out over or whatever the case was. But as far as the quality of the stuff, the movement looked really good.
What was your vantage point for Matthew Boyd during his start against the offense today?
Yeah, he does a good job of mixing it up. He's got a changeup. He's got a big, sweepy breaking ball, and he can elevate the fastball. And he's got some funk to him with where he comes from, a little bit lower slot with the carry on the fastball. So he can be tough.
I feel like kind of gave two away here this series just with what happened Monday night and then today, obviously, a couple of misplays.
Monday night for sure. Today, I think they beat us a little bit. They got the runs when they took advantage of the opportunities we gave them.
With Brady, how important is establishing a third pitch for him when maybe he's not getting the chase on the slider or doesn't have command of the sinker?
I think we've seen real progress on that changeup. I couldn't tell exactly the usage today. It didn't seem like quite as much as the last outing, but it looks promising. So I'm happy that he's going to trend in that direction.
Thanks to Annie Rogers of MLB.com with the questions there for the manager following this 9-4 Royals loss. Royals pitching allows 9 or more runs for the 14th time this season. Royals pitching has allowed at least 6 runs in 41% of their games. Royals are 2-28 when allowing 6 or more runs. 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. Again, 913-586-7610. Brady Singer's final line, 7 innings, 5 runs on 7 hits. 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. 1 walk, only the second time since the start of May in which Singer's had an outing with 1 walk or no walks. Q was curious about the amount of changeups thrown today by Singer. He threw 97 pitches, and according to Baseball Savant, 3 of them were changeups. Let's go to the text line. The Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. Vern, we needed today because the Rays series will be rough. Yes. Casey Kurt, Vern, it seems like when Singer was really effective last season, he was using a 3-pitch mix, and he's abandoned that changeup. From the 913, Vern, how is it that no one can coach the Royals to a winning season beside Ned Yost? Pretty easy answer there, because Ned Yost is the only one that's been given talent in the last 30 years. From the 620, Vern, is it time to start judging the team's leadership for sucking this bad as well? Some of Q's decisions have been questionable at best. Yeah, I think it's always fair to judge leadership. Yeah, I think you're doing that since, I know I've been doing that since the beginning of spring training. 74 games in. Yeah, it's certainly obvious that Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff were not given the most talent, right? Certainly not the best pitching staff. I just mentioned a moment ago, 2 of the 3 worst ERAs in Major League Baseball are on your team. Jordan Lyles and Brady Singer, 2 of the 3 worst ERAs in Major League Baseball. Daniel Lynch has been back for a month. Zach Greinke maybe gives you 5 innings every time he takes the ball. You're going with Jose Kwas tomorrow. Yeah, I have a tough time judging Q's X's and O's. Now, as far as how he handles the clubhouse, how he handles the dugout, how he handles these young men progressing, I think he's doing fine. He either takes the bullets for him, deflects when questions are posed about them struggling. Now, maybe he's not as entertaining as Ned Yost was. He's not coming up with the one-liners that Ned was when he would endlessly defend and fall on the sword for Moustakas and Eske and Kane and Haas. Yeah, Q's not as loquacious as, Q's not going to fill up a notebook the way that Ned Yost would. So, yeah, you can judge the leadership, you can judge the coaching all you want. I don't know what Ned Yost would do with this bunch. Shoot, I brought this up too, Ned Yost, this spring. We're talking out in surprise, and he told me the same thing he said when he was announced as a Royals Hall of Famer. You know, people always ask, you know, what changed? You know, oh, that clubhouse sure was great. Everybody loved each other in 14 and 15. He said, man, that's... all that stuff's overblown. It just comes down to talent, right? In fact, I'll bring it to you coming up in a moment. It was just one of my favorite quotes, not just the season, but one of my favorite quotes since I've been covering this Royals organization, because it really bottom lines everything. And I know I get very romantic about the game, and I love the body language stuff. I love the inside the clubhouse stuff and how you need everybody tugging on the same end of the rope. And I believe that to be true. But there is no replacement for talent, right? You either have talent or you don't. And if you don't, it's darn near impossible. For as much as we want to make this upcoming foe, the Tampa Bay Rays, for as much as we want to make them a plucky bunch, and wow, they don't spend money. Look at how do they do it? Go dive into the numbers. More than half of their hitters have an OPS around 800. They got some killers in that lineup and studs in that rotation. Shane McClanahan is an ace. Zach Eflin is a stud. Tyler Glasnow is a monster. Those are the three pitchers the Royals will face over the next 3 days. 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Here's that quote from Ned Yost.
Sports fans, baseball fans particularly, they just want you to win. And that's it. They want you to win. Well, the problem that you run into and that we ran into kind of in 10 and 11 and started to come out of it in 12 and 17 and 18 and 19 is you're not going to win without talent. I mean, that's just the way that it is. You can fight and put up a good fight, and you can, you know, you can say the right things. But unless you have talent, you're not going to be able to compete. And in 10 and 11, we were developing that talent at the minor league level. We had all those kids, Haas and Moose and Salvi and Herrera and all those kids coming up to the minor league. So we were just waiting for them to get there. In 17, 18, and 19, we were amassing our talent again, restocking, if you will, our talent again to get to the point where they are today, where they, you know, can start to take steps forward. But, you know, in 13, 14, 15, 16, and even into 17, we were a talented team, and it showed. I mean, we were 52 games over 500 during that period, won two American League championships and a world championship. So it was an exciting time. It was a time that we knew we were good. We knew we had talent. We knew we could compete. And that makes it fun. That makes it fun. You wake up every day excited and raring to come to the ballpark and put on a show for your fans.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this team doesn't have any talent. It's still a professional baseball team. I understand 34 games below 500. Bobby Witt Jr., no doubt, that's talent. Now, can he be the best player on your team? at the age of 23? Probably not if you want to compete. Bobby, by the way, hitting .304 in the month of June with an OPS of .795. Mikel Garcia, that's talent. Garcia picks up another knock today. He's hitting .306 in the month of June with an OPS of .805. Nick Prado, talented. But Prado's your leadoff hitter. Bobby's hitting second. Garcia's your number five hitter. Prado's 24. Bobby's 23. Garcia's 23. Championship teams don't have, good teams, competitive teams don't have 23 and 24-year-olds with that little dirt in their spikes taking up such prominent roles in the lineup. Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch, yeah, they have talent, but can they lead a rotation? Because that's what they're being asked to do. 913-586-7610 is the phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose in Detroit. They drop the series final score 9-4. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
We're less than 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. Royals lose 9-4, record now 20-54. My game notes following this five-run loss are presented by Jay Southland Tow Service. Only two Royals in the lineup today had multiple hits. Freddie Fermin had his third multi-hit game of the season, but his first in 6 weeks. Salvi had a pair of singles, including another infield knock. Salvi's team-leading 21st multi-hit game of the season, one better than Bobby Witt Jr. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. From the 858, Vern, do you believe the Royals knew how bad they were going to be, or is the organization shocked as well? Either way, it's very troubling as a fan. Yeah, no doubt it's troubling. There's no way I can believe that they're shocked. No one. They didn't believe that they'd be the second worst team in Major League Baseball, but they knew that they were going to lose. You don't trumpet an evaluation season with the expectation of competing for a postseason spot. Shoot. When did I start sending out the smoke signals? It was pretty quickly in my Monday morning appearances on Fesco in the Morning. It was pretty quick in spring where I was downtrodden, looking around saying, oh, they don't have enough pitching again. Yeah. An offseason of adding Yarbrough, Chapman, and Lyles wasn't enough to alleviate what ailed this club just a season ago. Another question here on the text line. Vern, are the Royals actually tanking? From the 816. You certainly hope so. You look at the offseason, you see how they spent their money. They bring back their future Hall of Famer in Zach Greinke. He wanted to. Sure, why not? Here you go, Zach. They pay an innings eater in Jordan Lyles. They pay a lottery ticket in Aroldis Chapman. And they hope to find lightning in a bottle with Ryan Yarbrough. Those were the offseason acquisitions. They tell everyone it's going to be an evaluation season and then trot out a bunch of 23 and 24-year-olds and say, hey, you got to lead the offense. So, yeah, it's hard to say they're doing anything but tanking. You pretty it up by calling it evaluation season because you are at least putting guys out there that you drafted and developed. And, you know, sadly, 74 games into the season of this evaluation campaign, we're done evaluating Vinny. We're done evaluating Chris Bubich. We're only about a month into the evaluation of Daniel Lynch and Drew Waters. We're not evaluating Kyle Isbell. We haven't seen Angel Zerpa yet. So, yeah. I mean, it's silly to say, all right, you know what? Wins and losses don't matter. We're just going to sit back and evaluate for 6 months. Just see what we have here, as if these guys haven't been in the organization their entire professional career. Well, we're just going to sit back and, we understand it's a billion-dollar industry. We're just going to punt on an entire season just to evaluate. No, that's tanking. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Back to the text line from the 816. Fern, I'm so tired of hearing, if this bad event didn't take place, all would be well. Fern, that's what losers do. Losing is bad enough, but to play only one side of the what-if game, again, that's what losers do. No doubt. Yeah, Royals lost this game. I'm not trying to spin it as if there's a silver lining. No, my point in the open was, no matter how you feel about Brady Singer, I think today's performance validates your beliefs. If you're down on him, if you're a non-believer, well, he gave up 5 runs. Yeah, he went 7 innings, but Jordan Lyles can give you 7 innings of 5-run baseball. If you're a believer in Brady Singer, you say, hey, get him an adequate defense. God knows he's been through enough over the past 3 seasons for this perennial loser. Get him an adequate defense, make the plays that good teams make, and he just spends 8 innings of 2-run baseball. That's my point. No, they're not a good team. No one's making the case that they're a good team. They're 20-54. From the 660, Vern, do you think Q will have a job next year? Yes, he will certainly have a job. And yes, I think that job will be manager of the Royals. 913-586-7610. Vern, this team needs to be blown up. This is the worst team I've seen. I was in Detroit today and nobody played like they cared. I don't buy that. I've watched all 74 games. Now, look at the names in the lineup. And this goes back to my talent point. Yes, Bobby's talented. Salvi maybe is a Hall of Famer. Prado and Garcia, no doubt. Matt Duffy was your cleanup hitter. Edward Olivares, Samad Taylor, Freddie Fermin, and Dairon Blanco. That was your 6, 7, 8, 9. Dairon Blanco could walk up to you right now and introduce himself, and you'd have no idea. You'd be like, nice to meet you, Dairon. Wait, Dairon Blanco. Oh, you're the Royals guy. Man, shout out Dairon Blanco. My bad, man. He's got hits in 7 of his 9 big league starts. He drove in a run today. You know what? My bad, Dairon. Hey, I like him. I'm glad. I'd rather watch him in the outfield than Edward Olivares. I'll tell you that right now. The Drive is coming your way next. Fear not. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:30 on 610 Sports Radio. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon, Kansas City. Take care.
Hey, this is John Rothstein, the host of Inside College Basketball Now, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, reminding you that our show is going to ramp up over the next 2 months. That's because we're counting down to Selection Sunday and March Madness. We will be coming to you each and every week with multiple episodes featuring exclusive interviews with the biggest and best names in the sport. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet for college basketball junkies everywhere. Follow and listen to Inside College Basketball Now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
We're less than 6 weeks away from the trade deadline. Royals lose 9-4, record now 20-54. My game notes following this 5-run loss are presented by Jay Southland Tow Service. Only 2 Royals in the lineup today had multiple hits. Freddie Fermin had his 3rd multi-hit game of the season, but his 1st in 6 weeks. Salvi had a pair of singles, including another infield knock. Salvi's team-leading 21st multi-hit game of the season, one better than Bobby Witt Jr. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. From the 858, Vern, do you believe the Royals knew how bad they were going to be, or is the organization shocked as well? Either way, it's very troubling as a fan. Yeah, no doubt it's troubling. There's no way I can believe that they're shocked. No one. They didn't believe that they'd be the second worst team in Major League Baseball, but they knew that they were going to lose. You don't trumpet an evaluation season with the expectation of competing for a postseason spot. Shoot. When did I start sending out the smoke signals? It was pretty quickly in my Monday morning appearances on Fesco in the Morning. It was pretty quick in spring where I was downtrodden, looking around saying, oh, they don't have enough pitching again. Yeah. An offseason of adding Yarbrough, Chapman, and Lyles wasn't enough to alleviate what ailed this club just a season ago. Another question here on the text line. Vern, are the Royals actually tanking from the 816? You certainly hope so. You look at the offseason. You see how they spent their money. They bring back their future Hall of Famer in Zach Greinke. He wanted to. Sure, why not? Here you go, Zach. They pay an innings eater in Jordan Lyles. They pay a lottery ticket in Aroldis Chapman, and they hope to find lightning in a bottle with Ryan Yarbrough. Those were the offseason acquisitions. They tell everyone it's going to be an evaluation season and then trot out a bunch of 23 and 24-year-olds and say, hey, you got to lead the offense. So, it's hard to say they're doing anything but tanking. Pretty it up by calling it evaluation season because you are at least putting guys out there that you drafted and developed. And you know, sadly, 74 games into the season of this evaluation campaign, we're done evaluating Vinny. We're done evaluating Chris Bubich. We're only about a month into the evaluation of Daniel Lynch and Drew Waters. We're not evaluating Kyle Isbell. We haven't seen Angel Zerpa yet. So, yeah. I mean, it's silly to say, all right, you know what? Wins and losses don't matter. We're just going to sit back and evaluate for 6 months. Just see what we have here, as if these guys haven't been in the organization their entire professional career. Well, we're just going to sit back and, we understand it's a billion-dollar industry. We're just going to punt on an entire season just to evaluate. No, that's tanking. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Back to the text line from the 816. Fern, I'm so tired of hearing, if this bad event didn't take place, all would be well. Fern, that's what losers do. Losing is bad enough, but to play only one side of the what-if game, again, that's what losers do. No doubt. Yeah, Royals lost this game. I'm not trying to spin it as if there's a silver lining. No, my point in the open was, no matter how you feel about Brady Singer, I think today's performance validates your beliefs. If you're down on him, if you're a non-believer, well, he gave up 5 runs. Yeah, he went 7 innings, but you know, Jordan Lyles can give you 7 innings of 5-run baseball. If you're a believer in Brady Singer, you say, hey, get him an adequate defense. God knows he's been through enough over the past 3 seasons for this perennial loser. Get him an adequate defense. Make the plays that good teams make. And he just spins 8 innings of 2-run baseball. That's my point. No, they're not a good team. No one's making the case that they're a good team. They're 20-54. From the 660, Vern, do you think Q will have a job next year? Yes, he will certainly have a job. And yes, I think that job will be manager of the Royals. 913-586-7610. Vern, this team needs to be blown up. This is the worst team I've seen. I was in Detroit today and nobody played like they cared. I don't buy that. I've watched all 74 games. Now, look at the names in the lineup. And this goes back to my talent point. Yes, Bobby's talented. Salvi maybe is a Hall of Famer. Prado and Garcia, no doubt. Matt Duffy was your cleanup hitter. Edward Olivares, Samad Taylor, Freddie Fermin, and Dairon Blanco. That was your 6, 7, 8, 9. Dairon Blanco could walk up to you right now and introduce himself, and you'd have no idea. You'd be like, oh, nice to meet you, Dairon. Wait, Dairon Blanco. Oh, you're the Royals guy. Man, shout out Dairon Blanco. My bad, man. He's got hits in 7 of his 9 big league starts. He drove in a run today. You know what? My bad, Dairon. Hey, I like him. I'm glad. I'd rather watch him in the outfield than Edward Olivares. I'll tell you that right now. The Drive is coming your way next. Fear not. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 4:30 on 610 Sports Radio. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday afternoon, Kansas City. Take care.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and college hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.